Okay, good afternoon, everybody. In this week's Parsha, we have the very famous story of Bilam and Balak, and how Balak hires Bilam to go ahead and curse the Jewish people. In the middle of that story, as we know, Bilam has an encounter with the donkey, and then he still doesn't realize that he should stop going on the derech that he's going, on the path that he's going. He continues, and now he says, finally he confesses, and he says that Hadaber asher yosem elokim b'fi oso adaber. I'm not going to be successful. Whatever the Ribono Shel Olam, whatever God puts into my mouth, that's all that's going to come out. And you want me to curse them? It's only going to work if the Ribono Shel Olam, if God himself is going to allow me to do so. So then Bilam gives some advice to Balak, and he says, Vayomar Bilam el Balak, in order for this to be successful, in order for us to go ahead and curse the Jewish people, B'nei libazeh shiva mizbechos, I want you to go ahead and build 7 altars, V'hachin libazeh shiva parim v'shiva elim, and I want you to separate animals that we're going to bring as sacrifices. Vayaz Balak hasher diber Bilam. So Balak follows the instructions. Balak, after all, wants to curse the Jewish people. He wants it to be successful. And if Bilam's telling him this is the only way it's going to work, so that's what he does. Follows the plan, builds his 7 mizbechos, and he brings up parva ayal b'mizbeach. He brings up all of these animals onto the mizbeach, and then the story continues. Now the Gemara learns from here a very interesting halacha. The Gemara says in Sota, in Nazir, in Horius, the same Gemara comes up in a bunch of different places, Amrav Yudam Arav. We learn from the story of Bilam and Balak, La'olam yasagadam b'torah v'mitzvos, va'afal pi shalo lishma. A person should always involve themselves in Torah and mitzvos, mitzvah activities. Even if I don't have the best of intentions, even if I'm not doing it for the sake of the mitzvah itself. Why? Shemitoch shalo lishma balishma. Because if you involve yourself in the mitzvah, even if it's for the wrong reasons, ultimately it will come to you performing the mitzvah lishma. Now, how do we know that that's true? So the Gemara says we know that this concept is true from our parsha, from the story of Bilam and Balak. Why? Shebeschar arbaim ushnayim karbano shehikriv Balak melech Moav. Here you have Balak, the king of Moav, who's instructed by Bilam Harasha to bring 42 karbanos. And because he went along with the plan, and because he sacrificed 42 karbanos, albeit for the wrong reason, he was doing it because he wanted to curse the Jewish people. But yet he went ahead and he offered 42 karbanos because of that mitzvah, so to speak, that he did. Zacha v'yatsasa mimenu rus. Because of that, he has the merit. Rus ultimately comes out of him, and then David HaMelech comes out of her, and Shlomo HaMelech, and Mashiach. And that's the reason why it goes to the family of Bilam, of Balak, because Balak built 7 mizbechos, and Balak goes ahead and offers karbanos. That's what the Gemara tells us. Now, just to point out, it's not just that shalo lishma brings to lishma. Over here you have the most extreme shalo lishma possible. You have Bilam who's going ahead and instructing Balak to build a mizbeach because they want to curse the Jewish people. You can't get more shalo lishma before God than that. And yet, the greatest extreme, the polar opposite lishma comes out. Rus HaMoaviah has nothing to gain by being a Jew. Naomi tells her, you're going to lose out and you're not going to be wealthy and you're not going to have a job and you're not going to get married and life is going to be terrible. And yet she has nothing in it for herself, as lishma as a person can possibly ever be. That is the outcome of the situation of Balak, which is fascinating. It's not just that you yourself will turn into lishma, it's that you could be the most extreme shalo lishma, and look at the extreme that it can create. It can create the extreme of even a rosa ma'aviyah. So that's what we learn from the story in this week's parsha. The truth is that it's really learned from the story in last week's parsha as well. In last week's parsha we have that the Jewish people are traveling in the desert, vayifnu vayalu derech ha-bashan. So now they go toward a certain place called Bashan. So all of a sudden they're encountered by Og Melech HaBashan. He was the giant, a scary person, and he tells them that he's about to wage war. You come into my land, it's not going to go down easy. We're going to wage war here. The next pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Al Tiroso." Don't worry about him. Don't you worry about him. Ki biyadcha nasati yosav es kalamo ves arzo. Because I already am promising you that Og Melech HaBashan is going to lose the war, and you're going to be successful, and everything's going to be fine, and you have no reason to fear at all. So the Rishonim already point out, the Kli Yakar and others, it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu is afraid. God has to come to him and say, don't worry, you can calm down, there's nothing to be afraid of, I'm going to take care of you, I promise you're going to win the war. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu concerned? He knows that God has performed all the other miracles up until this point, so why is he all of a sudden concerned when it comes to the war with Og Melech HaBashan? So Rashi points out here, the reason why he was concerned was because, if we remember this story back in Parshas Lech Lecha, we're told that Vayavo HaPalit, there was somebody who comes along to Avraham Avinu, and he tells him, he informs him that his cousin Lot is in big trouble. And Avraham Avinu goes ahead and he steps into the story, and he gets involved. Who was that messenger? Who comes along and tells Avraham Avinu to get involved and save Lot, who's his relative? That messenger was good old Og Melech HaBashan. Now, imagine how old he is. He was alive in the time of Avram, and he's still around at the time of our parsha, which is at the very end of the story of the Jewish people in the desert. So it's an amazing life that he had. But yet, Moshe Rabbeinu is concerned. Why? Because back then, when he helped Avram Avinu, he's the one who tipped off Avram Avinu and told him to go and get involved and save Lot, his relative. Therefore, he has a schus. And because of that, maybe we're going to lose the war. Look, he did one good thing in his life. Maybe that's going to stand up for him, and therefore he's going to win the war against us. So Moshe Rabbeinu is afraid, and God has to come to him and say, don't worry about it. You're going to win the war. There's nothing to be concerned of. So the Mefarshim on Chumash asks, why is Moshe Rabbeinu concerned? If you look carefully in Rashi, in that Parshas Lech Lecha, when that whole story took place, why did Og Melech HaBashan go ahead and give a tip to Avram Avinu about Lot? Why did he go ahead and tell him to go save his cousin Lot? The reason why was because Og Melech HaBashan really had in mind to marry Sarah. Og Melech HaBashan knew that Sarah was already married to Avram, so how am I going to get rid of Avram? How am I going to be allowed to go ahead and marry his wife? It's only if I bump off Avram. Well, how am I going to do that? I'm going to tell him, there's a war going on out there, your cousin happens to be in trouble, go fight the war. And we assume he's going to lose the war, and because of that, Og Melech HaBashan decides to get involved. There was no part of what he did that was L'shem Shamayim. He did it all because he wants to marry the wife of Avram, and he could not do that while Avram Avinu was alive. And yet the Mefarshim say that Moshe Rabbeinu is nervous here in our Parsha. When I come to fight against Og Melech HaBashan, who says I'm going to win? Perhaps Og Melech HaBashan has a schus because he saved the life of Avram Avinu and of Lot back so many generations ago, even though all of that was Shalol L'shem Shamayim. And what you see clearly is the same as in our Parsha. That even if a person sometimes performs a mitzvah Shalol L'shma, sometimes that will lead to having a schus, sometimes that will lead to great things, even though Balak has wrong intentions, Og Melech HaBashan has wrong intentions, but still, there is something positive that can and often does come out of that. And the problem with assuming this way is, how do we understand the very famous Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah? The Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah says that Liyasid Labo, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sefer Torah Umenicha Becheiko. The Ribbono Shel Olam, God is going to take a Sefer Torah and he's going to put it, so to speak, in his lap. The Omer, and he's going to make an announcement. Lemisha Asikba, whoever came along and was involved and learned and studied the Torah properly, Yavo V'Yito Scharo, you should come along and get reward, because now it's time to pay everyone back. Now it's at the end of days, it's at the end of times, and therefore God says, I assure you, I'm going to pay you back for all the learning Torah that you did in all the generations. And the Gemara says, Miyad Miskabtsin Kolumus Olam, all the nations of the world come forward and they say, what do you mean? We helped the Jewish people learn Torah. Look at all the bridges that we built, and it enabled them to go to the yeshiva, it enabled them to go to the shuls. Look at all the schools that we built. Look at everything that we did. Don't we get some sort of schar? Don't we deserve something for all that we did? And God says to them, what do you mean? Shotim Sheba Olam. Kol Ma'asheh Asisem L'tzarech Atzmachem. Everything that you did was not well-intentioned. You didn't build those bridges in order that the Jewish people should be able to get to shul. You didn't build the buildings in order that they should have a school. You did all of that for yourselves. And therefore, you're not entitled to accept reward. And that's a major problem. How does this Gemara jive with what we learn from our Parsha? In our Parsha, we learn, even if Balak builds the Mizbeach, Shalol L'shma, even though he offers the Karbanos without any intention of appeasing God, but to the contrary, he wants to destroy the Jewish people. And even in last week's Parsha, when you have Og Melech HaBashan, who for some reason thinks that he's going to be successful against Moshe Rabbeinu because many, many years ago, he saves Avraham Avinu, even though he was ill-intentioned, there was nothing good about what he wanted to do, yet we know that that schus is going to last him. So why is it that when it comes to the story of the Umas HaOlam, La'achris HaYamim, when they're going to come and claim that they want to get reward for all of the bridges that they built and everything else, God pushes them away and he says, L'tzorech Atzmachem, you didn't do it because you had good intentions, you did it for yourselves. What's the difference between these two stories? So perhaps the answer is as follows. The Rashba writes in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah, and trying to explain that story that took place there. So the Rashba writes, I don't understand. God is not making a pronouncement. Anyone who thinks they ever did anything good should come along and claim their reward. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara tells us that anyone, Lemisha Asakba, anyone who had an involvement in Torah itself, they should come ahead and I will give them reward. So what are the Umas HaOlam thinking? They never studied Torah. So why do they think to step forward and say, we deserve schar? Of course you don't deserve schar. Yes, you did many wonderful things. What does that have to do with Torah? So the Rashba asked this question. How do we understand the Gemara in the first place? Why did the Umas HaOlam think they were entitled? So the answer is, the Umas HaOlam, says the Rashba, they thought the same way we have a concept of Yisachar and Zevulun, you have somebody who goes to work and you have somebody who sits and learns. The one who goes to work doesn't have a chance to sit and learn. But since he supports the person who is learning, we assume that they get some sort of schar. They are considered partners in some way. And I am considered to be a collaborator of the learning that's going on. So they felt the same way. Yes, we never sat down and learned. But bottom line, were we not the same as a zvulun? Were we not the same as the person who supports those who are learning? Look what we did. We went and we built the bridges. We went ahead and we helped them. And we did everything that we could in order for them to last. So what is God's response? You did everything for yourselves. So what? So what? But bottom line, didn't we collaborate? Didn't we help? So the Rashba answers that no. It's true, you are going to get reward for doing that. You do deserve to have a good life for all the bridges that you built, and you do deserve to get schar for all the wonderful things that you helped the Jewish people to learn Torah. But if you want to be considered somebody who's a real companion, who's an associate with the Torah, it's not just that you help. You have to be someone involved. You have to really be involved in a serious way. Not that you do it for your own cheshbonos, for your own things, l'kavod atzmachem. Yes, you'll get schar for that, but not what that Gemara is describing. That Gemara there is talking about whether or not you deserve schar in, you can be called a companion to the Torah. And there the Gemara says, absolutely not. You're only doing it for yourself. You cannot be considered an associate of the Torah at all. Yes, you're going to get schar. God's not going to take that away from you. But to be considered somebody who's associated with the Torah, that is something that you're not included in. And perhaps that's the reason why Balak is a different story. It's nothing to do with that. And why the story of Og Melech HaBashan is also not the same. Because over there, they weren't claiming that they wanted to have a part in the Torah itself. All they were claiming was, we deserve to have some sort of reward for the act that we did. And in a case like that, the Gemara says, even if the act is done Shalo Lishma, even as Shalo Lishma as Balak may have been, still that's enough to be considered something that a Lishma activity can come out of that. So the question is, when we say in the Gemara that if you do an act Shalo Lishma, perhaps it will lead to Lishma, is that only by learning Torah? Or is that even by other mitzvahs as well? So the Rav Moshe Feinstein points out in the first volume in Or HaChaim that he's not the first to point it out, the Avnei Nezer has it and others as well, that the Rambam conveniently leaves out a word in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "La'olam as yaseg adam b'torah v'mitzvah shalo lishma." A person should always involve themselves in Torah shalo lishma, in mitzvah shalo lishma, because ultimately you'll get to a point where it will turn into lishma. The Rambam conveniently leaves out the word mitzvahs. The Rambam takes that out. Some say maybe the Rambam had the girsa midos. You should always have midos. You should be an anav, even shalo lishma, just because you think if you're an anav, someone's going to give you more kavod. But perhaps that's what the Rambam learned, but the Rambam leaves out the regular understanding of the Gemara of mitzvahs, which Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, perhaps that indicates that maybe it's only by learning Torah. A person learns Torah shalo lishma because you want people to respect you, because you want to be a very well-renowned personality. That's okay, but to do it by other mitzvahs, that's not allowed. To buy the fancy esrog because you want everyone to look at your esrog, maybe that's not permissible. So Rav Moshe Feinstein proves this, and he says the Rambam, the way he sets it up, in Ilchus Talmud Torah, the Rambam writes, that Gadol Talmud Torah Mikol Mitzvah Sheba Olam. Talmud Torah is the great, it's the pinnacle, it's the greatest thing a person can ever do. And it's maybe the Day Maisa. And then the Rambam says, after Me'eva Esrim Shana, we're all going to go up to Shamayim, we're going to have to answer questions about Talmud Torah. So Talmud Torah, the Rambam says, is serious, and therefore says the Rambam, you should even learn Torah Shalo Lishma. So it would seem to indicate that this is a halacha that's unique only to Talmud Torah and not to any mitzvah observance. And that would seem to be a problem because the whole limud, the whole source that we have for this din is from our parsha, which had nothing to do with Talmud Torah. It was Balak going ahead and offering karbanos. It was Og Melech HaBashan going ahead and saving someone else's life. What does that have to do with anything? So that's in general a question. How do you understand this Rambam that seems to leave out half of the Gemara and the source itself that the Gemara learns it from? But either way, I saw Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a beautiful explanation as to why this principle should only apply to Talmud Torah and not to other mitzvahs. Again, why should we assume that Shalo Lishma is okay learning Torah, but not by other mitzvahs? Explains Rav Shlomo Zalman as follows. Hinei Kaimelan, this is what we're going to talk about at 5:30 this afternoon. Hinei Kaimelan, mitzvah Trichos Kavana. We paskin that when a person performs a mitzvah, you have to have in mind for what it is that you're doing. Uman dekavin mitzvah below kavanas mitzvah. Lo chashiv klal kemitzvah. If somebody performs the mitzvah of dalet minim without thinking about what they're doing, that is not considered a mitzvah. V'im kein. And therefore, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, harehu adinami im asa mitzvah shelo lishma. Not only if you perform a mitzvah without thinking about what you're doing, but if you perform a mitzvah and you have an ulterior motive and you're not thinking about the mitzvah itself, you're thinking about, oh, I want everyone to see my esrog, that's also called a violation of mitzvah trichas kavana. And therefore, he says, lo kiyam a mitzvah klal. I don't have any fulfillment of a mitzvah at all, because after all, mitzvah is trichas kavana. Uvehechrich tzarech lomar. And he says, this is the chiddush of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Doesn't the Gemara say a person should always involve themselves in mitzvahs, even shalo lishma? How do you understand that Gemara? Shlomo Zalman is arguing over here that if a person has ulterior motives when they're performing a mitzvah, it's considered like not a mitzvah at all. How do you understand the Gemara says of Shlomo Zalman? No. That Gemara is going according to the other man de'amar. And the other man de'amar holds, mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana. So only if you feel that mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana, that you don't have to have in mind while you're doing the mitzvah, that you're performing a mitzvah, only then can you say that you're allowed to do it shelo lishma. But if you hold like the way we pass that mitzvahs are tzrichas kavana, then Rav Shlomo Zalman argues, you cannot perform a mitzvah shelo lishma, because that's considered the same as doing a mitzvah without kavana at all, and one would not fulfill his obligation. And therefore what? Therefore he says, that would only apply to mitzvahs, but not to Talmud Torah. Why should Talmud Torah be any different? Explains Rav Shlomo Zalman. Listen how beautiful. Achen kol zehu le'inyan ha-mitzvahs, ach le'inyan Talmud Torah, shapir ikri mitzvah af belom in shelo lishma. When it comes to learning Torah, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, even if you learn shelo lishma, you're going to fulfill your obligation. Why? Why don't you say mitzvah tzrichas kavana like we say everywhere else? V'hu api ha-mevur b'sifrei ha-klalim. So Rav Shlomo Zalman tells us as follows. Shem echad ro'es chaveiro tovea bayam behitzilo. Let's say, unfortunately, I'm walking by the swimming pool and I see there's a child drowning in the river. And I go and I jump in and I save the kid. Shaper ki mitzvah af im b'shasa hatzala lo zachar klal lechavein shu osakein l'shem mitzvah. Obviously, I get big points in Shamayim for saving that person's life, even if I didn't think about it at the time that I was saving the kid. Instinctively, I jumped in, I saved the kid's life, but I wasn't thinking, oh, hidden imuchan amazuman pikuach nefesh to go save a life. Obviously, you perform the mitzvah regardless. V'chein hanosin prutalani. If somebody gives money to a poor person, even if at the time that you give the money you're not thinking about anything, still says Rav Shlomo Zalman, one would be considered in fulfillment of the mitzvah even though you're not thinking about it at the time. Why that? He suggests because hamatara ha'ikara shebe mitzvah seila, because the objective of those mitzvahs are that you should just accomplish the goal. The ani needs to have money. The child needs to be saved from the pool. You need to be involved in this thing. It doesn't matter whether you're thinking about the mitzvah or not. Bottom line, was the mitzvah performed? Yes. And therefore, it's considered to be a mitzvah even if you're not thinking about it at all. And therefore, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, ulefi zeh, hu adin gabi Talmud Torah, the same thing as by Torah. Because the whole objective of Talmud Torah is Limud hadinim v'hamishpatim, is to know, is to understand what the Torah's laws are. V'zeh halon eskayim biyado. Bottom line, even if I sit down to learn and I have all the wrong intentions, bottom line, did you fulfill the objective or not? Do you know what you learned? Do you understand what you learned? Yes. Did you accumulate knowledge? Yes. So therefore he says, V'lachein, afim b'shas halimud lo kivin klal shem kach, even though you weren't thinking at all for the purpose of a mitzvah, mikal makom kivin shal kapanam yodea ma mutar ma osur, you have fulfilled your mitzvah anyway. That's the way Rav Shlomo Zalman explains why it is that specifically by Talmud Torah we assume that even if a person learns shalo lishma, you can still consider it to be a mitzvah regardless, whereas by all other mitzvah opportunities, if a person has other ulterior motives, if you're not performing the mitzvah l'shem shamayim, if you're not having kavana for the mitzvah, Rav Shlomo Zalman argues that you would get no points at all because we paskin halacha l'maisa mitzvah tzrichas kavana, and therefore, if you have an ulterior motive kavana, that's the same as having no kavana at all. That's the way Rav Shlomo Zalman explains. I think it's a beautiful interpretation. I guess we'll continue a little bit tomorrow.